Welcome to I Am Light. I'm Sarah Lockwood, your spiritual life coach, comedic relief friend, and host. I Am Light is a place where we talk about shining our light, having some fun, and being a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm here to bring you content on the big journey of life and how we can live as our fullest, most authentic self. So step into your highest expression and come on in. Today on the podcast, I am absolutely thrilled to have my friend Allison Feehan, who is such a wonderful individual. I'm so excited to have her on the podcast. I've wanted to have her for so long. So Allison is a spiritual medium. She's an intuitive. She is a Reiki master. She's a naturopathic doctor. She's a nutritional therapy practitioner. She does Akashic record readings. She does crystal healing. She literally does everything under the sun. You guys, it is so crazy. And I have her website linked in the show notes if you want to go and read all of the different things that she does. We would be here all day if I wanted to list all of them. But Allison has really become, personally for me, my one-stop shop for all things mind, body, spirit, wellness, healing, connection. I go to her for Reiki. I've done intuitive coaching with her. I've done mediumship readings with her. She's my naturopathic doctor. And she is just such a light of a person. And she has so much intuitive wisdom to share. She's the most connected person I have ever met. And I'm so excited to get into this conversation and so that you guys can now see what, you know, what I have been experiencing with Allison and why I love her so much. And you can have the opportunity to love her just as much as I do. So in this podcast episode, we go into energy, we go into intuition, we talk a little bit about Allison's experience as an intuitive and what that has been like and how it shows up for her. And then we go into some spiritual rabbit holes. So please open your mind for this episode because we get weird and it's amazing and I love it. We go into past lives and all kinds of things. So please enjoy. You are going to love her just as much as I do. I already know. And welcome to I Am Light. Let's get into it. Okay.
All right.
I think we're rolling.
We are
rolling. So welcome. Thank I'm you. So happy to have you on the podcast today. I've literally wanted to do a podcast with you for so long. Like I've talked about it with, you know, one of my friends who I told you we were talking about doing a podcast together. And I was like, we have to have Allison on.
Well, I think I have seen that this is going to be successful for you. So I'm very excited to be here.
Okay. So I know that when we talked about what we wanted to kind of chat about today, you said energy.
Yeah.
Big topic.
Big topic.
So you've had lots kind of coming through. Where do you want to start? Like what's been coming through?
Well, I have to say that, you know, our thoughts are energy. Mm-hmm. Everything is energy. And so I have recently, with all the shifts on the planet right now, with all the energy shifts on the planet, the Schumann resonance spiking. So for anybody who's listening to that, they can look up the Schumann resonance and get a little bit more feel for that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the heartbeat of the planet, basically. So the Schumann resonance, it tracks the energy happening on the planet. And right around, I want to say like June 16th, I think it was, the Schumann resonance generally has like all these spikes in energy from, you know, like a north to south perspective. The Schumann resonance actually made like a helical, almost looked like a DNA strand. It actually had geometric pattern to it. And so a lot of healers and intuitives and people that track it, you know, physicists, stuff like that, looked at this as a huge breakthrough as us ascending and the planet shifting and starting to shed. So ever since that has kind of taken place.
Slay.
So ever since that has taken place, I've noticed in myself a lot of what I'm seeing and what I'm noticing around people has shifted. So I've started noticing people carrying other people's energy that are still here in the physical world. So as you know, a lot of times when you come in, I might say, oh, I saw your deceased grandmother follow you in here. Mm-hmm. Well, lately I'm seeing somebody carrying an ex-boyfriend or somebody they work with. And that happened today. A woman was carrying the energy of a coworker who's been sick. And I said, whoever you're carrying is not well. And she knew it. And so I've been working with clients to try to pull back some of that energy of thinking about people, right? So I don't want to say I can see people's thoughts, but lately people's thoughts are manifesting into what I can see.
Are my thoughts manifesting into something you can see?
Well, yes, which is why I was texting you.
Rainbows and butterflies.
You know, you can tell when somebody's doing work on themselves. I can tell it almost immediately. That's why I generally like to give somebody a hug. I want to gauge where they're at with their emotions, how they're feeling, how they feel about themselves, how they feel about a situation, you know, all of that. So for me talking about energy, it's a big topic for me because I read energy like Braille, like somebody that couldn't see. So that's why I really wanted to talk about energy. I mean, you can use your thoughts to create results in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you, I would love to know, and I'm sure everyone listening would also love to know, what do you experience as an intuitive? Like when you say, oh, this energy came in here with you, like, what does that feel like? Which one of the clairs is dominant for you and how does it show up for you?
So I have a multifaceted experience. Okay. That means that I may experience one clair at a time or all the clairs at a time. So I am great with clairvoyance. I don't see with my eyes as much as I did when I was a kid. So I see a lot in my third eye. So some people may say, well, that's not really clairvoyance, but I haven't found another word for me seeing things in my third eye. I have to say it's almost when I'm looking in, like if I'm looking over your shoulder, I see nothing with my two physical eyes, but my third eye, I see what I need to see in my mind's eye.
Okay. So it like shows up as a picture in your mind as if I said, close your eyes and picture a beach.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The second clair that I have, which I use to navigate my life, is clairsentience, which is the gift to feel. So I feel everything. Yes, it's an empath, but it's, I feel like the empaths are the learning.
Yeah. It's like before you know how to set the energetic boundaries.
And the clairsentient is the one who's graduated and can kind of manipulate it or understand it. So for me, that second clair is very heightened. I love that clair so much because if a spirit is not willing to want to necessarily communicate, I can feel an apology, even if they're an unapologetic person. Okay. And then the third clair is claircognizant, which is just a clear knowing. Sometimes I know something like I know the color of my couch. It's like, I just know it. Okay. So at the same time, if somebody comes in, I may see it, know it, feel it, like within seconds. And it just puts the whole story together of, I understand that.
When you experience clairsentience, do you experience physical sensations? Do you experience an emotion? Do you just experience it energetically?
Both.
Okay.
Or all three, actually. So a lot of times I tease with my clients, if I start itching my head, I don't really have fleas. I'll feel like tingling in my scalp because my vibration is raising, right? So I'll tend to get like little pins and needles in my scalp. So you may see me itch or move a lot. That's the physical sensation. The emotional part, I mean, I have cried. Spirit has brought me to tears. Sometimes they'll show me a picture of how much I love my own family to express to my sitter how much they're loving and missing their clients. So they have showed me pain if they experience pain. And as a younger child, you don't understand how to make that kind of go away or how to get them to stop with that. They just want to keep showing you so you understand. And as an adult, I just learned to say, thank you so much for the message. And it usually stops, you know, once they feel you've delivered the message or you understand what they're saying, or you say, okay, I'm going to move on, it will stop.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah. So as a child then, what was your like first experience as an intuitive?
As an adult or a child?
As a child.
So,
because you said since you were like four, right?
Yeah, my mom says I was much younger, but I really only remember the instances from when I was about 4 years old, and they weren't pleasant. And I think it was because at four, you're just like a walking open antenna of reception, right? So I remember my mom putting rosary beads on all four posts of my twin bed. I remember not so good interactions with spirit, things that were a very low vibration or very low energy.
So like spooky?
Yeah. And yeah. Things changing into things, things just taunting me. I didn't sleep well as a child. I still don't generally sleep through the night. I've gotten much better as an adult, but that was difficult. As I've gotten older, I've just learned to, again, I go back to energy. I just keep trying to raise my vibration so high, because lower entities are on a lower astral plane. So if you choose to not sit in low emotions and low frequencies and vibrate at a much higher rate, it changes where, what you see and what you interact with. So
yes, I remember, I think I told you about this when I was in college. It was a very like low vibrational, like the buildings were spooky, haunted. And I, when I was a senior, experienced like depression and some other things. Like I had really severe gut health problems. My health had tanked and I had all of this, like, it was like messing with my mental health. So I was experiencing a lot of anxiety and depression. And I saw in my mind's eye, not with my eyes.
Yeah.
Like the spookiest looking dude. And it, I was physically sick for days after it.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you about that before, but I was, I remember I was in such a low vibrational place. So how do you recommend people, like, because of course, as human beings, we experience the full spectrum of emotions.
Sure.
Regardless of if we're, you know, a high vibrational person, or if we're someone who is generally in a low vibrational state, like even if you're someone who is more optimistic and operates with more consciousness, we will still inevitably experience sadness, anger, all of it. So how do you recommend people process those emotions, and so that they're not suppressing them and saying, oh, love and light, like can't be angry. But also don't dwell in those emotions to the point where it like drags them down.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's, if we're human, so we're going to sit in some of those emotions, but I do recommend to try to not sit in them as long as you possibly can, just because they do vibrate at such a low frequency. If you or your listeners ever look up Dr. Hawkins, he came up with the, you know, he came up with a way to measure human emotions on a scale.
You've seen that.
Yes.
The different vibrations, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the highest one is gratitude. Yes. Gratitude's higher than love, I think.
Yes. Love is about 500. And so when you look at the scale and you study this just a little bit, and I don't mean study it, but you look at it and you say, okay, well, if I'm angry, angry is actually probably a better state to be in than in mourning. Right. So when we're
victimhood,
right? So when we're vibrating low, sometimes I always say, well, I'd love to see you angry right now, because that would at least put you up further on the scale. I'm very mindful. I always say to my clients, be mindful of what you eat. You literally are what you eat. Food has a vibration to it, right? Live food versus dead food. You know, where did you pick it from, the sun, or was it packaged in a bag, right? Even though there's a lot of sugar in there, it's going to get you going. It's going to crash your energy really quickly. So be mindful of what you put in. Be mindful of who's in your circle. Sometimes we're in poor relationships or have bad friendships, and that pulls our frequency down. So trying to pull yourself out of that low frequency and answering your question is your food, what you're watching, what you're, you know, who you're entertaining. All of those things have a frequency to them. You have a frequency. So if you wanted to raise your vibration, I would suggest you doing things that actually raise your vibration: walking, meditation, breath work, laughter, love, you know, companionship, things that will get you up that scale out of that anger. Even exercise, right? Changes your frequency. So all of those things.
I love that. And that's something that I tell my clients a lot too, is, you know, you don't have to be afraid of anger or sadness. Like, you're going to experience them, but when you experience them, move through them with consciousness and love.
Yes.
Because then you're raising your vibration and processing your emotions.
That's exactly right. Because when we try to suppress them, I swear it pushes us further back down on the scale.
Yeah, it does. Because so many people are like, oh, you know, only positive vibes, like love and light. And I'm like, you just like shoved your anger all the way into like your pelvis.
Yeah.
And that's going to show up later.
That's like those mugs that you see that are like, I'm all peace, love, and happiness, but I will punch you in the face.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You've got to have balance. Like we're humans.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention the whole chakra system, right? Like
yeah.
we are energetic beings that are continuously giving and receiving energy with each other all day. When we hug and we connect the heart chakras, we're transmuting each other's energy. I'm either taking on and transmuting yours, or you're taking mine in, right?
Yeah.
There's an exchange of
energy. Osmosis.
Oh yeah. Just gonna right into that. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's the same thing too. If you walk into a party and somebody shoots you a look, you're like, oh, I don't think she likes me very much.
Yeah.
The body language has a frequency attached to it. It's a language, right? We're reading energy all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think empaths struggle just a teensy bit, is they read into it and then they go right into the emotional state of like overthinking it versus feeling the emotion and then trying to control the energy based on that.
Yeah. And transmute.
Like, what do I do with it now that I have the energy? Thank you so much for the energy. That woman doesn't care for me. Instead of like, the woman doesn't care for me. She doesn't care for me. They're all of a sudden they're creating a connection with the enemy or the person that doesn't like them versus just pushing back on the energy and then building their own beautiful power to defend that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's what's so difficult.
It is. I've always been very, energetically in tune to others.
You're super intuitive.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm tired.
Yeah.
But I've had to learn how to like set these energetic boundaries, because for a while it just translated into people pleasing and all this stuff, because I was reading everyone's emotions and then immediately making it my responsibility to raise everyone else's vibration. That's a lot.
It's a lot. What happens too is people are giving you negative energy. You feel it and you're like, oh, I don't like the way this feels. Mm-hmm. I need to change it.
I need to fix it.
I need to fix it.
And control it.
Yes, because if not, it's stuck on me and I don't want it. So I'm going to make this person like me to make that energy go away or to shift it. And when the empaths fall for that a lot, right? And so when you start to realize that you have no control over how people respond to you or how people show up, you are in control of how you show up and how your energy is expensed, right? And that's a game changer, I think. And
yes.
Somebody's going to like us. Let's be honest. I'm not for everybody. I always say I'm certainly not. Acquired taste.
There's plenty of haters.
We all do. It's just whether or not they express it to us openly on social, right?
Yeah. And they have.
Well.
Oh, they have.
I apologize
and
for
it,
that.
Well, you know what? It used to bother me and it doesn't anymore. Because
you shifted your energy.
Yeah, because I learned the difference between, you know, people pleasing, which is trying to control everyone's perception of you and making everyone else's emotions your responsibility, versus just becoming okay with not being liked.
Yeah.
And that is so liberating, because you don't feel the need to control your environment anymore.
It's true.
And
plus, when you're giving people, you're basically giving your energy away when you're allowing somebody to get to you like that.
Yeah. Energy leaks, gives your power away.
Yeah. I don't give my power away.
No, me neither. Not anymore. I corked that shit up. I would love to get your views on like the mind intuition incongruence that happens and why we have so much trouble trusting our intuition over our mind. Obviously it's because we've been taught that the mind is more reliable.
Yeah, it's the monkey
when mind. Even though it's not, but there are a lot of times, like for example earlier when you said if you walk into a room, into a party, and someone like gives you a bad vibe, I think a lot of people will write that off and say, well, they didn't do anything wrong, they're fine on paper, like mentally in their mind.
Yeah, we try to rationalize.
We rationalize.
Yeah.
But our intuition is saying run in the other direction. And because we ignore that, we don't realize until it's too late and they do something shady or they do reveal themselves as low vibrational. So what's your kind of take on that and how to lean into intuition more?
That's just it. You got to lean into it. I always say, write it down. Even if it's in your notes, be like, went to a party, didn't feel good about it. Write down everything you feel, right? You may not even know her, but maybe you'll run into her again. I'm saying her, but you know, maybe it is a guy, but you the person you run into, perhaps you might run into them again or throughout the party, get to hear a little bit more chatter about mm-hmm. who this person is. I always say you need to keep practicing, right? So mm-hmm. if you don't keep practicing and write things down, have you ever been like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I knew she was going to leave early.
Mm-hmm. Right. Me thinking about you right before you text me.
Yes.
Every single time.
Literally. And you're like, ew, I was just thinking. So that is mental psychic ability. So that's mental visualization. I actually wrote this down as one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because have you ever had a car in front of you and you're like, I really need you to speed up or move over.
Mm-hmm. And then they do.
And then they do, right?
And you're like, I'm a wizard.
Yes. With no wand, right?
Yeah. Because If you're
consistently sending energy, don't forget, thoughts are energy. And mm-hmm. sometimes I've actually read people's thoughts. When you are sending out that energy, it will consistently go. So now if I go back to the girl at the party and she's thrown a look at me and I'm like, oh, she doesn't like me, then I'm going to try to control it. I'm going to change the energy. I don't have to make her like me. I may need to let her know that I'm not a threat in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's the, I'm going to tell her to move aside, slow down, speed up, change lanes, right? I want to play with the energy. So to go back to your question is I want to try to learn. I would suggest for my clients to try to manipulate their environment. Ask for a really good parking spot every time you go. Right.
I do that and it works.
It works.
It works. And I will be in Midtown Manhattan
mm-hmm.
where there hasn't been a parking spot
yes.
since Hamilton was
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So I actually wrote down too that I wanted to talk to you about the government, the CIA, these documents.
Ooh. Yeah. I was going to say before when you were like, I can read thoughts. I was like, nobody tell the government about this. Yes.
The CIA actually had used a training experience dubbed the Gateway Experience. And you can look this up. Yes, I know you've heard of it. The documents are out there. And this was to bring upon enhanced focus and coherence to amplify the frequency of the brain output between the left and the right side of the brain, pushing it outside the physical space, escaping restrictions of time and space. So I know that's a mouthful.
Oh yeah. Break it down.
And they also have a workbook that basically puts the mind in a different altered state of consciousness, utilizing the brain to interact with non-physical aspects of the reality. These were used quite often. Like there's a whole documentation of like transcendental meditation used to get you there. Deep breath work. Sound. Like I highly suggest people looking into this because it just proves that we can manipulate
all the things we have intuitively known for centuries, millennia.
Right.
All of a sudden it's being measured by science.
And so not to just give people a blurb, I always suggest to my clients, whenever I suggest anything to them, I want them to do the homework too. I can explain to them till I'm blue in the face, but as you know, mm-hmm. people have to do the work. They need mm-hmm. to read it. And there's a workbook attached to it too, that you can look at the workbook and start to do some of what they're suggesting. It's like deep meditation when you start to see visualizations of things.
Yes.
And when you start to do the work, I mean, mental visualization is greatly enhances psychic abilities. When people come to me and they say, oh, I want to tap into my intuition, their homework immediately is breath work and meditation mm-hmm. right away. And if they're like, well, I don't really meditate, I'm like, well, you're not going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put in the work. Mm-hmm. So to go back to what you were talking about, I mean, I just feel like it's all interconnected. It's all intertwined. So I even had to write that down because that was such a mouthful to make sure that I got it out.
That was really cool. Exactly. What you got on that list?
That was
so cool.
Well, you know, what I do say to my clients a lot of times when they're talking about their thoughts and we go into thoughts is some clients will even come in and say, I want an Akashic record reading.
Mm,
right. And those are really fun. They can scare people. Most people just get one done. Sometimes, I mean, I think that there's reasons why we're meant to forget what we did.
Yeah.
You need to leave it there. But what you think and what you do and what you may do is woven into the fabric of the universe. And so the Akashic the Akashic level is just another dimensional level that intuitives tap into. It's the library.
I was going to say the library of everything ever,
right? The universe is keeping track of your thoughts because that's energy output. Mm-hmm. It's almost like telepathy. So when people say, I want to manifest, and we have to be careful with manifestation because some things we can just never manifest. I can't manifest to be taller. Yeah. I'd love to be, but that's not happening. But there are things that we can try to manipulate within our physical reality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what you think about is woven into the fabric of the universe, and the universe isn't going to forget it. It's going to record it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's why any thought we've had, this is what like all the manifesting gurus and teachers teach is if you have a desire, it's because there's a version of you already living it.
Yes.
And it's like checked in at the library of the Akashic library, and you just have to go check the book out.
Yes. And we feel it. We know it's there. We know the possibility is there, or the opportunity is there. Mm-hmm. And we say, what is my doppelganger up to?
Right. Yeah. Now? Honestly, what's she doing? Herself,
what is she doing up there?
I'm so curious.
Right. I know.
Do you manifest intentionally, or do you just, I know we all automatically manifest because we are manifestors, whether we're aware of it or not.
Yeah.
But do you intentionally manifest?
Yes and no. So yes, I do. What I mostly manifest is positivity, health, and wellness. Mm-hmm. I really do. I feel like if we don't have our health, wellness, or love in our life. I mean, I just told you the password to our, you know,
your Wi-Fi.
My Wi-Fi, and it's got a lot of abundance and stuff in it. So yeah, I do, but I try to always try to raise my vibration so that I can find a match in the fabric of the universe. Yeah. I want to connect and keep my circle with those that I feel are like-minded or feel the same positivity and want to connect on that same fabric with me. I just like to keep really good, positive company. I don't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do manifest. I manifest for the universe to bring opportunities to me that will be right for me and the person that I'm doing it with for our highest and greatest good. So for you and I to connect, we made it happen, mm-hmm. but I think if it wasn't meant to happen, something would have come between us. One of us would have had to cancel or rearrange something. Yeah. I take my foot off the gas pedal. I let the universe drive, right? If I put it out there, if it's not coming to fruition, it's not meant for my highest and greatest good. And I live by that. Doesn't mean I don't want to have a temper tantrum sometimes. Yeah. It doesn't come my way, but I really truly believe that if we put it out there to the universe, it could sometimes take years to manifest something. Mm-hmm. I manifested this space. I wanted to be on Bridge Avenue in Bayhead, which is like the fifth Ave of, you know, Bayhead. And I really wanted it. And the building looked like it was under construction, which it was. And there was a tenant that was coming in. So I was like, oh, darn it. And so when I ran into the landlord, I said, I'd really like to move in there. She said, well, actually, like the whole thing that we were working on just kind of fell through. It was impeccable timing. Everything was super easy. She was super lovely and everything worked out. And I think if I wasn't meant to be in this building and occupying this space, it wouldn't have worked out. But it took me 2 years to manifest this space.
And you took aligned action.
Yeah.
Like even just by saying oh, I would love to be in here.
Exactly.
That's aligned action.
And I tell my clients the same thing, just because I foresee for you good things in your investment or in your marriage, doesn't mean you get to just be asleep at the wheel. You have got to be involved in doing the homework with the fabric of the universe.
Mm-hmm. That's what I tell my clients too, is like, you can't just manifest only based on visualization and good vibes. Like you can't manifest being a New York Times bestselling author if you never write a book.
Right.
You have to do things.
Right. You have got to do it. And I've even said, I'm going to tell you this, but when I tell you that you're going to pass your test or win your court case or whatever it is, I say to them, it doesn't mean now you just don't follow up with your lawyer or don't do the work. You've got to do the work.
So. Yeah, because we also have free will.
100%. This is a free will planet. Lots of other species would really like, they're like lined up waiting to reincarnate on this planet because we have such free will.
That's a fun topic. We're going to dive into that rabbit hole. Are you aware of your other lives?
I am aware of some of my other lives. Yes. I have anything seen fun? Yeah, actually, the one I'm not surprised with as a child gravitated very much so. My mother and I both were gravitated very heavily towards the Egyptian era.
I was thinking that. I knew you were going to say that.
Am I shocked by that?
I'm super intuitive.
I literally knew you said that. I was like, she's going to say she was so in Egypt. I thought that I might have been female because I feel very... I love to be a female, I will say. I think I've been female many times, mm-hmm. but to my absolute surprise, I was a male. And then I was a little disappointed because I think I had a few women, not just one, which doesn't seem like me, but apparently was very me back at that time. Mm-hmm. But I was in a hypnosis experience in this past life regression. I had done this with someone. And the whole time I experienced it, I was inside a room that was very yellow, but gold yellow, very bright inside there. And the woman asked me where I was. And I said, I was inside one of the pyramids. And she said, well, who is with you? And I said, nobody else. And she said, well, why? And I said, well, nobody else could come inside. It's too powerful for them. And apparently I was recharging myself with energy inside this pyramid, and not a lot of people could sustain such power to come in, but I could. Apparently I was some type of pharaoh.
Oh
yeah, because I thought I was female, and you're not really, not many queens, but there were a lot of pharaohs.
What if you're a King Tut? What if I'm sitting here with
you? Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm here with King Tut.
That would be cool.
That's crazy. Tell us how they built the pyramids. I have to know. It makes no sense.
It's all telepathy, sound, and levitation. None of those bricks were moved.
I literally, that's what I keep
none of those bricks
thinking is, and you see all these documentaries where they're like, how the heck did they build these pyramids?
They built them like right down to the centimeter of like perfect angles.
And aren't they like the right under these very specific stars? I don't know enough. Yeah, anyone Orion's really belt. Into, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, pyramids of Giza are right under Orion's belt.
Pyramids
or alignment, like
like
Orion's belt. I mean, the rabbit holes could go very deep.
I know.
But my mother was also very drawn to it, and I'm pretty sure she probably had a previous life in it, which makes sense if I reincarnated with her.
Yeah.
She was very into King Tut and Queen Nefertiti and all of that. So I don't know that I was a very known pharaoh of any kind, but I definitely felt as if I was a higher consciousness being inside this pyramid, that I could sustain such power.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have brought you like an offering.
Yeah. Next time.
Next time.
Next time.
I'll bring you a goat for your table. Oh my gosh. That's wild.
Yeah. It was a very wild experience. I wasn't surprised by it, but I was shocked because I thought, well, I must have been like this powerful, you know, high priestess or something, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, I'm a man. You're
like, oh,
where's the rest of my, I have no shirt on. There are all my women.
You could have been a woman. Who knows?
Right. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know what they were doing in ancient Egypt. You do, apparently.
Yes, well, some of it. It's only the snippets of what I saw.
Yeah. Do you become aware in those moments of like the lessons you were meant to learn in that lifetime?
I felt like not necessarily in that lifetime, the lesson I was meant to learn, but it felt like it very much associated to this lifetime. I felt like I needed to understand the powerful being that I am here in this lifetime. It's like, don't forget how powerful you are. We have so much magic in us, right? We are the spark of God. And so I think a lot of us forget our power. We fall to the dogmas of the world, right? We fall to
not realizing that in another life we were a pharaoh,
right? Which is I was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it when I was there in that reincarnation. And so I think coming back into this life, I just sometimes have to channel that and remember that I'm just a powerful being. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something we forget.
Something, yeah, that I think we all forget, because we all have the potential to be
a powerful being.
And I think because of the way that our society has developed, we think like, well, only some people can do that. And that's just not true, because it all just has to do with consciousness.
Oh yeah.
And there are also some very unconscious people who develop a lot of power too. Oh,
well, you know? Yes, but that could be pulling from some negative energy, right? Mm-hmm. That negative energy is feeding them in the negative polarity, right? Mm-hmm. There's positive and negative polarity. And sometimes we say, oh, that person's going to go straight to hell. Well, no, they may ascend of negative polarity, right? For the work that they've done in the negative realm or the negative polarity. So that's a whole nother
rabbit hole. Have you read Journey of Souls by Michael Newton?
I have not.
Okay. You would love
it. Is that a must read?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he is a psychiatrist, I want to say, mm-hmm. psychologist. He has a PhD. He, in the 80s, did a bunch of case studies where he did past life regression hypnosis, except instead of taking people into past lives, he took them in between lives and had them recount their experience in the spiritual realm.
Ooh.
You would love it. You would love it. And so he goes through every phase of the, I don't even want to say afterlife because it's the between lives.
It is.
The first chapter is death and the last chapter is rebirth. Yeah. And he says every single thing that happens in between.
Wow. I'm going to have to read that. That's like a Dolores Cannon times 10.
It's so fantastic.
You've read Dolores Cannon.
I have not read Dolores Cannon.
Dolores Cannon was a hypnotherapist and she was hypnotizing people. And same thing. She was transcribing and like recording all of people were talking about being in Atlantis, what happened to Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
Nostradamus, who he was talking to. I mean, alien abductions, what happened? People were just spilling the beans while they were typing away. Dolores Cannon's work is pivotal.
Same so with now her. I'm gonna read.
Same books.
Yeah, we'll have to do a book club.
Yeah, all right, a new thing.
Between life hypnosis book club.
I love
very that. Niche. It'll very just be niche. Us.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, oh, thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for coming.
I know. Well, I've seen you change so much for the positive. I mean,
you
really have done so much homework and so much drive. You've really put so much into the work that you're doing, and I think you're changing lives over it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear. Can they feel the love?
Can you guys feel it? We're staring at the microphone. Yeah. You can't see us.
Yeah, but we're feeling the love.
Thank you. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a labor of love.
Work, but it's such good work.
Yeah, it is rewarding, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is very rewarding. I've never felt more myself. Like I feel very, and I think last time we did Reiki, you told me you were like, there's going to be another layer coming off. I don't know if it's come off yet.
Yeah. Well, you've unraveled most of it.
Is there more?
Well, I feel like there's always more.
Not to make you work.
No, I think none of that unraveling ever really ends. It never ends.
Yeah.
It doesn't. We're always learning. And people say to me, I can't believe you took that class. I'm like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
I'm not the smartest one in the bunch, right? I'm not God. Yeah. So I want to learn from people. I enjoy watching your stuff. I learn from you as well, right? We have to keep spreading the same messages around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. You might have another layer, but I feel like you've disrupted it quite good. You've disrupted the layer.
Taking the foundation.
Right after that, that's when I got a text from you like, you know,
yeah,
this is coming off.
It was a whole, because you said, I remember it was my solar plexus that was so overactive because I've been, you know, striving in business the last few years. Still happening, by the way, still finding balance. But there was an unraveling, like another layer peeled off, if you will, after that session. Where I don't know if I've told you before, but I like love and have since I was a kid, fantasy and fairy tale. And like, yes, every kid loves fantasy and fairy tale, but I was obsessed. I like memorized every single one of my storybooks. I was always writing fairy tales, writing stories, putting on plays. And I know a lot of kids do that. So I don't want to be like, I was so different than the other children. Cause like every kid plays. Okay. I'm not going to try and gatekeep playing.
Yeah.
But was just like so into princesses and magic. And that didn't go away as I got older. But like
the magic didn't die.
It didn't die. It started to die a little when I was in high school because I was
wait a minute. High school is like really where a lot of kids lose some of their intuition and stuff.
Yeah. Because I was like so terrified of becoming an adult because I thought, you know, everyone says that, you know, oh, I wish I was a kid again. And I'm like, oh my God, is the best part over? That sucks.
Yeah.
And so it died a little bit and I became obsessed with like Disney and all this stuff. I was like a Disney kid when I was like 17, because I was like, I miss the magic and the, you know, like, I don't want to be an adult. That sucks. Like, I got really into Peter Pan. And then
I was just going to say, you have Peter Pan syndrome.
I literally have Peter Pan syndrome.
You don't though.
Not
Val syndrome.
Little pixie, just a pixie.
But did you ever think that you might have been an elemental in a previous life?
Hold on a second. Pump the brakes. What do you mean?
You could have been an elemental.
I'm going to start crying. What? No,
really, there are elementals. There are fairies and gnomes and leprechauns. And people are going to think I'm Kookamalooks, but that's okay.
People are going to think I'm Kookamalooks too, because I'm tearing up.
Yeah. It's true. Did you ever think you could with have fairies. Been? I was obsessed with the Egyptian time. It's very well possible that you could have been an elemental.
I was just about to get into this.
Being. Yeah, that's a whole nother dimensional being. They're beings on another level.
Because I have always felt.
Not on the Yeti level.
Bigfoot's on another one.
Bigfoot's different.
Nessie, different. Not the same.
Not the same.
Not me. Mia, I was Nessie in a past life, right. Guys. My whole life, even in like middle school, high school, was so obsessed with like the idea of enchanted things, magic, but not like witch magic, because I know there's Wiccan magic, yes, and all that. Not like that doesn't, I tried to make that resonate with me and I just didn't connect with it.
Same.
I admire it and think it's amazing, but it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
But I'm so into, I read so many fantasy books. It's like my favorite genre of books. And I'm so obsessed with fae, fairies, like dragons, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But specifically fae and fae folk, I've always been obsessed with. And that aesthetic, like the flower, the baby's breath flowers, and the idea of like a little enchanted flower, a mossy rock. I love mossy rock,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've been like that since I was a kid. And I remember in middle school, I would go into like the grandma's section at JCPenney and be like, I want that cardigan because it has like grandma print flowers, like very cottage core.
Yeah.
And I've just always been so drawn to all of that. And I feel like recently I have stepped more into that. And look, I got this fairy tattoo.
I saw that. It's beautiful, actually.
Thank you.
It's like a single poke. The single needle. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of the fine line ones, but I love her and I'm planning on getting more fairy tattoos. I love fairies. And so I really stepped into, everyone knows I'm obsessed with fairies now. I talk about it all the time. Like my wardrobe has changed. Yeah. Everything has changed. Everything I do, I'm like, this has to have the vibe of an enchanted forest.
Well,
or I'm not.
You said before too, that you feel more yourself lately. Mm-hmm. You feel like you've been falling into more of yourself and who you are. Yeah. I mean, not everybody entertains that, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody entertains, they think it's just, oh, Disney fairyland magic. But mm-hmm. I think when we have experienced something, but we can't quite figure out where it came from, the seed was planted somehow, right? The obsession comes somewhere. So you were exposed to fairy in some way, shape, or form mm-hmm. in your childhood. And you went, yes, mm-hmm. all of this, yes.
Fairy princess, like all that stuff. Well, I was obsessed with the Renaissance.
Oh, like my sister had a Renaissance wedding even.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I had, what was it? Was I meditating? Was I doing a path? Like,
but
a regression?
Think about it too. Like America's only a few hundred years old. When you think of Renaissance, you think of thousands of years old, right?
Yeah.
That's that whole elemental Viking, like, you know, mm-hmm. old times.
Yeah.
It's not this country. That's a different
definitely
country.
This is the first time I've been here. I don't know.
Well, as actually, a human?
Well, I mean, in America.
Oh, it's the first time you're like Christopher Columbus.
I definitely wouldn't have chosen to come to New Jersey twice.
Twice.
Is what
exactly,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I actually did do a past life regression. Like, it was like on YouTube. It was like an Akashic mm-hmm. record, like self-guided thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw myself, which I do think that this could have been in like the American Midwest. I was a young boy and was in like a wheat field. And my father was on a horse, not my father from this life. My father,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who it was. I don't know whose soul it was.
Was
I don't
it
know
very,
if I know
like
them.
Prairie time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was mean. Oh. He was a nasty guy. It was like very abusive. And then it flashed forward and I was like an adult, like maybe 20s. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone, and I think it was my father in this lifetime, get shot off their horse. And I remember feeling very just like neutral.
Right. Like you didn't have any emotions about, you're like, should I be sad? But I'm not sad. And
yeah. And I was like, was that a fever dream? What was that?
No, I think we do have visions of what's previous, but what's interesting is you being so attached to fairies, and then you put yourself into this meditation, and that's the life that they chose to show you, right?
I know. I'm like, bummer. Where's the magic?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, that's not
a wheat field.
Disneyland.
No wonder I can't have gluten.
Exactly. 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 But that's what happens. You know, clients come to me and they're waiting for like this big climactic response.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a client who, her vocal cords are just different. It's her voice is different. Mm-hmm. And we did an Akashic record reading for her. And it came through that she was like American Indian and she was shot in the throat with an arrow. And so she's, when I came out of meditation, she looked at me and was like, well, yeah, that makes total sense. Like my voice is, I've always had issues with my voice. And so, wow. You know, for whatever reason, you were shown that lifetime for a specific reason.
I have a feeling I wasn't allowed to be fully myself
okay.
in that lifetime. And that was a big lesson okay. for this life. It's my life path number and everything. Yeah. Like,
I also think too, there's a strong possibility that you are just a very independent person always in general. And, you know, in that lifetime, you probably had to continually raise yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You were out on your own. Mm-hmm. I see patterns. Yeah. In lifetimes, and the lifetimes can be all over the place. I've also seen lifetimes that overlap each other, where we're having two experiences. Remember we talked before about our higher self or our doppelganger, yeah. what are they up to?
Yeah.
There really
that's
is.
How the soul can like split into
yes.
two different lifetimes.
Yes, exactly.
Because we're and still anchored in the spiritual.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, am I,
right.
are you me?
Yes.
Are we each other?
It's all linear time, right? It's all quantum physics when you start looking at it. It really is mind-blowing and very difficult to explain.
Mm-hmm.
But when you fall into that rabbit hole, it's a very interesting rabbit hole to fall into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't break an ankle.
I've broken several going
right,
into
right,
rabbit
exactly.
holes.
And then you're like, I feel like
another
Alice,
thing I was
out.
Obsessed with is Alice as well.
Yeah. Alice, don't fall into
I was obsessed with her. I played her three different times in shows.
See?
We destined just, to fall down
but,
a rabbit hole.
But she's magic, right? She goes to this psychedelic world where it's mm-hmm. like upside down and things don't make sense. And it's like a dreamland. And
yeah.
I truly believe that we can skip timelines too. And I think we have skipped a timeline. You go into the whole mandala effect and
oh my gosh,
have changed already.
That
right?
is so
it's 2012. There are so many things that have changed. People are saying like time is speeding up and it is speeding up. They're not wrong. We literally are moving way faster than we have.
Didn't the earth recently start spinning faster?
Yes. Yes, it did. And yeah. then everybody's like, things are moving so quickly. And I'm like, well, it
well,
is.
Quite literally, yeah.
It quite literally
is. Earth is just speeding up. It's like, you guys are taking too long.
Yeah, here. I know. Hurry it up. You guys get your shit.
Hurry it up.
Can I say that?
Yeah, please. I curse constantly. I've held back actually during this recording. We're going to have to do like a part two.
Absolutely. Part two. Absolutely. Yeah. Another rabbit hole.
Definitely. Because we have so many things that we can
But this
about.
Was amazing. I had so much fun with you.
I
tonight.
Had so much fun too. Thank you so
didn't
much.
Know
for
we were
going to
laugh so much.
I did. I saw it
you
with
saw
my
it
third eye.
I felt it.
Well, do you want to let everyone know where they can find you?
Yeah, I am in Bayhead at 64 Bridge Ave behind the Coastal Cottage. So Integrative Healing and Wellness has been here for about 5 years. Integrative is going to be celebrating its 10th anniversary in January.
Birthday.
That's so exciting.
And that's
exciting.
New Jersey for
yes,
everyone because we
New
have
Jersey.
People all over the world.
That's right. Yeah. And I do Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've
yes.
sent me some
I've
beautiful souls.
Many clients who have from all over the world who have. So I'll put Allison's website in the show notes. And I'll tag your, you want me to tag the Integrative Instagram?
Yeah, that would be
okay.
Perfect.
I'll
yeah.
tag Instagram. So where can they find you on Instagram?
Well, you can find me at Integrative Healing and Wellness. So A-N-D, or you can find me at The Allison Feehan.
Feehan is F-E-E-H-A-N.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. So everyone go follow Allison. She is amazing to work with. She has helped me so much in so many different ways. She's like my one-stop shop for everything, mind, body, spirit. You have genuinely changed my life. And I'm so grateful that I met you. I'm so grateful that my mom found you.
Yes.
And that I met you through her.
She's your mom.
So shout out to my mom. Thanks, Mom.
We love her.
We love you.
We do love
you. But thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
me.
I love you too.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode today. If you really enjoyed this episode, don't forget to let me know by leaving a review. And if you want to connect with me outside of the podcast world, you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Lockwood, or you can check out my website, sarahlockwoodcoaching.com. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.